Good morning, everyone. Been singing a lot about love this morning. You know, we sing about the love of God. What if God just said, you know, oh, I love you so much, I'll just send you all a bumper sticker. God is love. And we'd all put that on our car and away we'd go. We say, well, what kind of love? How much love? You know, I love my wife dearly. But I love milk duds too. But not like my wife. So if God just sent us a bumper sticker that says God is love, of what meaning would that be? How would we measure the depth and the breadth? How would we understand it? How would it affect us? How would it change our lives? Other than saying, boy, I got something special from God. I got a bumper sticker. But Jesus Christ is a living, breathing proof of the love of God. And essentially says that there are no boundaries to this love. That no sacrifice is greater than the giving of his own son to express that love. That he might redeem you and me. And if you don't get anything else this morning, get this. If you reject the love of God in Jesus Christ, you scorn his love. I don't want to stand before God and say, I scorned your love. Do you? Love needs an expression, and that expression was the giving of his son. And the coming of his son gave us an insight into the Father. Because Jesus Christ stepped on this earth and he was full of grace and truth. We understand real compassion. We understand real mercy. We see grace in action. Because it's a living, breathing proof of the love of God for you and for me in his son. So let's just take a few moments today, and we're going to look at an event in the life of Jesus. And obviously, we do not lack for events in the life of Jesus that would point to this or help us with this. But we're going to use this one this morning to kind of, as a springboard, do some things we'd like to talk about. This is chapter 2 of the book of Mark. You'll also find this in Matthew 9 and Luke 5. But the three accounts, but we're going to use Mark's account because it gives us essentially enough information for what we want to cover. So let's read just the whole story to start with. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus and, after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this is what they were thinking in their hearts. That's scary. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and take your mat and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." He said to the paralytic, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Well, let's just ask a question or two. One, what did the people, what did all the different ones there, what did each person see? What did the people see? Well, they, right in the middle of this sermon, which was interrupted by some messing around in the ceiling, and finally some dirt falls on your head, and a hole opens up, and down comes this fella lying on his mat, being held by these four guys. The people would see someone who was hopeless, who was helpless, who was in the poorest of conditions. Their hearts could go out for these people. Perhaps they have even given alms for this person at one time or another. But as far as having any resource or remedy to help this man, they had nothing. All they could do was to say, "Poor man." However, the Pharisees are somewhat different. Because it says the teachers of the law, and if you look at Mark's account, Luke's account, you'll find that some of them came from clear from Jerusalem. Well, that was 75 to 100 miles away, depending where you were. What are they doing up in Galilee and Capernaum? Well, they were already keeping an eye on this Galilean carpenter who's teaching people. But their idea of this guy coming down through the ceiling, one is, "There's a sinner if I've ever seen a sinner." Because to them, sin equated to sickness. And this guy looked sick to me. He couldn't be any sicker. If someone doesn't lift him and help him and carry him around, he wouldn't get anywhere. He's paralyzed. Surely his sin is of the greatest of sins. And so they would scorn him. What did Jesus see? Well, obviously he saw the same as everybody else. Here's a helpless, hopeless man coming down out of the ceiling on a mat. He would see that much. But then it says he saw their faith. Now, we just talked about love. And we said, you know, if the love of God is not expressed in some way, if we didn't see it in Jesus Christ, if there wasn't some way that God reached down to us, somehow God expressed this love so that we'd have some idea of its depth and its magnitude of how he feels toward his creation, what would it mean? Nothing more than a bumper sticker. However, you can do the same with faith. If someone says he has faith, and it does not translate into some type of an expression that loves God back, that obeys God, that wants to give gratitude to God, a faith that is charged up and moving and it expresses itself, you might as well get a bumper sticker. Because that's all it's worth. And James explores that. He said, you know, if you just say you have faith and it doesn't do anything, it has no expression, it's dead. Well, even the demons, he said, have faith, and they at least express something. They at least tremble. It elicits some type of reaction on their part. But so many people today just make it a nebulous feeling out there. Oh, I believe in God. Well, get a bumper sticker. Because that's all it's worth. And so Jesus saw the expression of faith, and it moved him. Now, it says that Jesus just said, when he saw their faith, he said, "Your sins are forgiven." I have a question for you. Let's reconstruct this, some hypothesis, hypothetical situation. A situation, you know. Okay, here he comes down out of the ceiling. And what if Jesus said, "Okay, what's this about? What are you guys doing? What are you thinking? You interrupted the sermon, so you've got something in mind. So what do you want?" Would they have asked for healing or forgiveness? What would you have asked for? Hypothetically, what if Jesus said to the man and these men up there who are holding him down here, you know what, I'm kind of decided, I've thought about it, and I've decided not to heal you today, but I'll tell you what, I'll bless you with a better blessing than you've ever received. Your sins are forgiven. Would you be happy with that? Did you get carried all the way from home, lugged up onto a roof, lowered down through the ceiling to have someone say, well, I'm not going to heal you today, but I'll tell you what, I'll forgive your sins. And then you go back home the same way you came and everyone says, well, what happened? Well, that was a wasted trip. No? Surely you would. How many would say, that was the better blessing of all? How many would say, yes, I'm still paralyzed and I need others to carry me around, but I'll tell you what, my sins are forgiven. They'd be few and far between that would look at it that way, don't you think? Have you ever thought about it that we pray, we ask, we seek, we long for, and sometimes God says no, but he gives you something better? God is good. Look around in this building. God is good. Look what's happened here in the last year and a half. God is good. You know, we were in places and times when God's blessings came out of nowhere. I mean, we get an envelope from Arizona from someone we don't even know and never met. Wouldn't know him if I met him at Walmart tomorrow. And what does he do? He sends us $10,000. You think God isn't good? You think God doesn't sometimes give us something we're not expecting or something better? Sure he does. So he says, your sins are forgiven. Well, here's the whole thing. We come to God looking for mercy. Because once we've looked in the mirror of God and we see ourselves as God sees us, and he says, all have sinned and come short of glory of God. There's none of you righteous. No, not one. And we look in that mirror and we see just what kind of helpless, hopeless situation we're in. And we're like the blind people, men sitting along the road and say, have mercy on us, son of David. What do you want? We'd like to have our sight. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Meaning, we're in a position where all we look forward to is a paycheck. You say, I love paychecks. Not this paycheck, you don't. Because the paycheck of disobedience is eternal death. The wages of sin is death. And unless something changes and we stay on that course, the road of destruction, unless you make a conscious decision to do something different, you're going to get a paycheck. But the paycheck is going to be eternal death. Eternal separation from God. Everybody wants to know, well, what's hell like? I'll tell you what hell is like. It's a place where God isn't. So everything you know about God and everything you think about God, God is love and God is compassion, God is mercy and God is joy and peace and long-suffering, it doesn't exist there. It's a place of pain. Forever. Because you chose a paycheck. They came looking for mercy, and God gave them grace. They didn't come looking for forgiveness of sins. Jesus gave it to them. Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. So it wasn't something they expected. It wasn't when they left home. Boy, I hope when we get there, I hope in all of this stuff that's going to happen that we get our sins forgiven. No, they didn't expect that. They came seeking mercy, and that mercy was to be expressed in finding healing for their friend that's on this mat, and instead their friend encounters the grace of God. That's what you encounter. When you give their life to Jesus, you walk right into the arms of grace. And it's a gift. It's an expression of that bumper sticker, love. Remember that one? Only the God is love is real. And his expression of love is in his grace, giving you what you are not entitled to. He gives you eternal life. He forgives your sins, mercy. He gives you eternal life. They came for mercy. They found grace. So the real problem with the man on the mat is bigger than paralysis. It's deeper than paralysis. There's more going on with this man than just paralysis. And it is Jesus who has the insight that can see that his need is greater than that. I read of a pastor who was a pastor in Washington, D.C. And he loved to play, this is a number of years ago, and he loved to play tennis. And in his continuing to play tennis, all of a sudden, he developed a terrible pain in his arm, shoulder, traveled down his arm. You know, he could hardly lift it. He finally went to the doctor, and it happened to be that being in Washington, D.C., he was able to see the physician who was the same physician for the President of the United States. So he saw a very good physician. And the physician looked it over and did this and that and something else, and he never gave him any liniment. He never gave him any sling. He never gave him any manipulation. He took out his tonsils because that was the real problem. The real problem wasn't his shoulder. It was the inflammation in his tonsils. God does the same thing. We think we've got it all organized and we've figured it out. And here's the problem, Lord. I mean, you really need to deal with this one thing right here. And God is thinking, no, that isn't the problem. It's your tonsils. Something different. He went beyond the paralysis to the source of everything, and that is there's a broken fellowship with God. We're going to start there and work forward. You need to start there. You know, people say, I didn't come to Jesus. There was a call to come and become a Christian, but I didn't respond to that. Why didn't you? Well, because I need to get my house in order. As soon as I get some things straightened out in my life, and I get rid of some things, and I kind of polish my boots and stand straighter and feel better about myself, then I'll come to Jesus. You'll never come to Jesus. The devil see to that. What's the old song in the songbook? Just as I am, without one plea. I come to God just as I am, and he takes me there. There in that encounter, we encounter ourselves being changed and being able to be empowered by Jesus Christ himself to change the inner man, the heart of man, and so that we can learn to walk with God. But we need his help. We need him on our team. We come to him first, then we attack life. Don't attack life and then think I'll come to him later. You'll run out of time. That was free. Yeah. Which is easier? Is it easier to say, thy sins are forgiven? Or, arise, take up your mat and walk? That's what he says here. He says, you know what, you guys are thinking. Now, they hadn't said anything, but you could see it. Furrowed brows, maybe whispering, little nudge here and there. You know, this guy's a blasphemer. He's taken on the divine prerogative of God. The divine prerogative of God is to forgive you. He's the only one that can do that. That forgiveness takes place in his mind. It doesn't take place in you. People say, oh, I have this warm, fuzzy feeling. Well, that's really nice. That's probably that hot cocoa you just drank. It has nothing to do with Forgiveness. Forgiveness takes place in the mind of God. It's His divine prerogative. And so they said, who can forgive sins but God? Did Jesus counter that? Did He say, oh, you got that all wrong? No, He agreed with that. That's a right statement. That's a true statement. That's a right premise. The premise is only God can forgive sins. However, when you go to the minor premise, and that is Jesus Christ isn't God, that was their other premise. Therefore, Jesus Christ has to be a blasphemer. Did you follow that? Only God can forgive sins. He's certainly not God. He's just a fellow from Galilee. He's not God. Therefore, He has to be a blasphemer. He's claiming something that belongs to God. Blaspheming is to claim something that belongs to God. That's one of the aspects of blasphemy. There are others, but that's truly one. And so that's a chain of thought that they were thinking. And Jesus says, well, you know, okay, let's explore that a little bit. Is it easier to claim, son, your sins are forgiven, or to say, arise from your bed and walk? Well, it's easy to make a claim. But as soon as someone makes a claim, what do we ask for? How do I know that's true? I mean, I'll give you a claim right now. You ready? All you people out there, as of this morning, I declare your credit cards are all paid. When it comes in the mail, you just write on there, Pastor Art has declared that all my debts are paid, and send it back to him. Why are you laughing? Well, that's about what the Pharisees would have done. They would kind of maybe snicker him, only in a derogatory way. What do you think you're going to get back from Visa, MasterCard? You better fire that fraud. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He doesn't have any authority to do that. He can't wash away your credit card debt. In fact, just to show you what we think of it, we're going to charge you some penalties on top of for not paying. How do you like that? We're not going to try that because we know that it isn't going to pass inspection, is it? So how do we know if Jesus says your sins are forgiven? How do we know that in the mind of God that took place? I'll tell you why. Because He is God. And that's why He said, what is difficult either to make this claim over here that seemingly can't be verified, but look at this claim over here, which only God could cause a paralyzed man to get up off a mat. Only God can do that. And this is something you can see and you can verify. And so if this is true, that's true. So He says, arise. Get off that mat. And get out of here. Jesus exercised His divine authority to forgive sins. Can you think of another place He did that? Well, He did it on the cross. There was that thief hanging nearby. And He says, today you're going to be with me in paradise. Well, who can do that but God? In spite of His own suffering, in spite of all that was going on with Him, He still reached out to someone else nearby because love knows no boundaries. And love's expression is to save creation. And love wants to circle its arms right around you. And His mercy wants to take care of all the past. It'd be gone as if it wasn't. and then just smother you in His grace. An unexpected gift that will make you whole, that will give you a right fellowship with God, from a broken fellowship to a true fellowship, to being a child of God. Who among us would scorn that love? And why? Because you think you got to clean up your act first? That's the devil talking. You're being deceived. That's never going to happen. You need Jesus. And the paralyzed man came with only hope that maybe he could find some relief from his condition. And he jumps off that mat, rolls it up, puts it on his shoulder. And you know, they couldn't even get in the door. There were so many people. But there was certainly room for him when he wanted to walk out. I tell you, they peeled back and they created an aisle for him. And they were so amazed that their eyes were open, their mouth was open. And they just couldn't think of anything. We've never seen anything like this. Well, friend, until you come to God and you walk with Him a while, you've never seen anything like that. Because it's God doing what only God can do. And our God is mighty to save you. Mighty in power. I want you to consider that. Valentine's Day, think of love. And if you don't see love through the cross and love through the expression of giving His Son and what that means to you and the response you should have to it, get a bumper sticker, because that's all it's worth.